2017 CES coverage is brought to you by Kingston Technology, presenting the A400 SSD, bringing you incredible speeds with rock-solid reliability.
What's going on, guys? This is the weekly, or what is normally the weekly Think Computers Tech Podcast, but we are doing our CES coverage, so this is our daily podcast. This is day one, since I guess yesterday was day zero. And we actually got into a bunch of stuff with companies today, so we actually have some stuff to talk about. Obviously with me is Bob, who is going to sound like he's depressed or whatever, because apparently he's ready to fall asleep.
I'm so tired. I've been in meetings all day. I barely slept last night, and we're here to do the podcast, so I'm excited for that. Derek killed that intro, so...
Yeah, crushed it.
So guys, we are here in Vegas, officially day one, I guess, of CES, and it's been a crazy day, man. This is how this kind of goes, because we're a four-man team, and trying to cover every company is just a pain in the ass. Pretty much plain and simple, a pain in the ass. We just got back, and it's almost midnight, and we have a ton of stuff to write, and obviously we're sitting down to do the podcast with you. So we both met with a bunch of different companies today, so I guess I'll start out. My big meeting today was with Kingston and HyperX, and the thing that I want to talk about the most is that Kingston had their HyperX RGB memory. So we've seen RGB memory from companies in the past, and the way they actually took advantage of the RGB is there was a cable coming off the module. So with Kingston, there is no cable coming off the module. It goes all through the SMI bus, so it looks a lot better, and it's easier to control. So Kingston is not going to have their own software. It's going to be dependent on the motherboard manufacturer. So they showed us a demo with Gigabyte. So Gigabyte's RGB software for their motherboard will work with the RAM module. So you basically can control everything with one piece of software. You know, whatever your motherboard would do, it works with Gigabyte, it works with MSI, it works with Asus. Really, really cool. I believe it's coming out in the second half, but it's just really awesome. I like that we're coming to the point now where we pretty much have RGB everything.
Yeah, and we pretty much maxed out that segment.
Yeah, and memory was the last thing to go. Again, we had RGB last year, but it had a cable attached, and that's just not sexy.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not the way to go.
Yeah, so now we have it, and it's great that it all goes through the SMI bus, so the motherboard does know what's in there, so you can actually control it with your motherboard software, which is pretty cool. So that was kind of my big thing.
I think that with that the RGB memory modules, though, like, and especially, like, I guess, yeah, we've had them in the past, especially with, like, Avixir. We had a lot of, like, really unique Avixir DIMMs out there. But now with all the other companies coming on board, these RGB sticks look really cool. Like,
they look really cool. And even the Avixir ones in the past, you couldn't control them.
Right.
Right? They were set on whatever.
Yeah, same with, like, the Corsair ones, right?
Yeah, so
they were a single color.
Yeah, they were set on a single color, and, like, whatever pattern or whatever they were doing, it was just set to that. You couldn't control it. With this, you could do everything. You could do pulsating. You could do color switch. You could do a lot of cool stuff with it. So yeah, that was my first meeting. What did you take a look at?
The first thing we did was we started with ECS. Many of you might not even know ECS. It's... it was formerly Elite Group, right?
Well, I mean,
it still is Elite Group, but yeah, the ECS. So it's they kind of have just faded out. They make kind of, would you say mediocre?
They make lower end motherboards.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with ECS is they used to be a pretty good brand when it came to motherboards, and I don't even know how long it's been since they put out something that was really, really good that we really enjoyed, you know.
Yeah, that was actually competitive.
Yeah, and it just seems like they're so far behind, and we have, you know, the top three, Asus, MSI, and Gigabyte, and those brands are pushing off other brands. You know, we'll have the Gigabyte Aorus, we have Asus ROG, you know, MSI, you know, there's just, for somebody else to come along, and we also have ASRock as well that we didn't even talk about.
Yeah.
You know, ECS just, their product just doesn't compete on that high level.
Yeah.
I know they want to be competitive, but there's a way to do that where a lot of things make sense, and it just seems like a lot of their products are behind.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked with them, they were like, we want to focus on pricing and making affordable products, and Like, that makes sense, but, like, don't you want a full-featured product?
Yeah, like, because nobody's going to want to use your product. And I think with the way the PC industry is now with enthusiasts and especially with gamers, you want to speak to those people, and those people are buying Asus, Gigabyte, MSI. They're not buying anything else, for the most part. Maybe ASRock, but they're not buying anything else.
Yeah, and they're definitely not going to leave one of those brands for something else that doesn't offer...
That doesn't offer at least the same or not more. Yeah. You know, so... Yeah, so... I
mean, yeah, so they had a Z270 board, right?
Yeah.
ATX, full ATX motherboard, but, like... And it was... I would say it's adequate. I mean, it had a 14-phase power supply, or power design, so... And digital power design. But beyond that, like, it wasn't RGB, I don't believe. It had lighting on the motherboard, but only in a couple spots. It didn't have the shielding over the I/O panel on the back. It didn't have the big heat sinks that we see now on the VRM and the bridge. It just wasn't quite there. They want to make it there. And people, I guess from looking into it, there's parts of Asia that are into the more traditional motherboard design that don't like the built up covers and stuff that and shields that we've seen, but don't you want to design a product that sells like the majority of the world?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure what their whole business plan is, but for the past, as long as you know, at least the past 3 or 4 years, they haven't really put out a product that's really turned heads or even got people excited about ECS again. It's just the same kind of blah product, and for us enthusiasts and obviously gamers, it just doesn't speak to these people. And maybe that's their plan. I mean, maybe their plan is to go after OEM or whatever, you know, whatever it may be. Yeah. But I just don't think for us covering that, it doesn't make us excited about the product at all.
No, and yeah, it's just not something that you're going to recommend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we saw them. They also had a new Leva product, if you're not familiar with that. Bob has actually reviewed some of their products, which is a mini PC.
Yeah, so their Leva brand, which is a really good brand, especially they've had some really cool products in the Leva family. They just announced a new one, which I guess you saw.
Yeah, the Leva Z Pro.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's basically just a refresh on like their highest end parts before with Kaby Lake. So you know, Kaby Lake SoC. And they're going to have an i3, i5, and i7 in, I think, 300, 400, and they actually haven't even completed the i7 part yet. But pretty much what you expect from a mini PC, right? Just, it's a box. You still have to spec SODIMM RAM for it and storage, but you get a Kaby Lake SoC, which should run, you know, your basic stuff.
Yeah, it should run all. I mean, Kaby, if you're running that full i7... I mean, that's going to be pretty powerful. That's going to be just like having a desktop without... I mean, if you're not doing graphics, that's going to do everything that you want to do for the most part.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
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 So, cool. So, on my side, I met with MSI today, and they had a lot of cool stuff. Their suite was massive. But I got to see their entire Z270 lineup, every motherboard that's currently out with them.
Oh, wow.
With the Z270, so it was quite a lot. Obviously, the one that caught my attention was the gaming M7 board. That's the one that had the cool LEDs around the PCI Express, remember we talked about on the podcast a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm just trying to picture exactly what that looked like.
Like, each PCI Express lot had the lights around it and the... It had the covering over the PCI Express slots with the lights.
Okay, I guess I just didn't realize that it... I thought it was... Maybe I just saw shielding? Maybe I never saw that
it actually has a shielding, and all each thing... And they're numbered. It says, like, 1, 2, 3, okay. 4, 5.
Yeah. So each shield has LEDs built into it? Yeah. RGB, I assume.
Yeah, it's all RGB. That board is beautiful. It won a CES Innovations Award. It's a really awesome motherboard. And for right now, that will stand as their pretty much flagship gaming board. For Z270, so I got to see that. That was really awesome. They brought their titanium board over to Z270 as well. So you have your Z270 X Power Titanium, which is really awesome. Really, I mean, titanium PCB.
Yeah. Not as full featured, right?
It's pretty full featured. It's an X Power board, so it's made for overclocking.
Right.
So full featured.
But not quite the flagship board. But
I know. Like, I mean, it's for their overclocking line that's a flagship.
Okay.
So it's a great mix of overclocking features and gaming features in one.
Gotcha.
And then they also had, on a small table there, they had two AMD AM4 motherboards. So they had the B350 Tomahawk, and they had the X370 X-Power Titanium. So these, of course, are made for AMD Ryzen. They couldn't tell us really a lot about them, obviously. But we did get to see a pretty much fully built out, two fully built out motherboards for AMD. So it was pretty cool to see
them. So how did those compare?
Still a little less featured.
Yeah.
Looks wise, not as many things on the board as we saw.
Like with less Intel.
Less components.
As far as like the heat sinks, less like built up.
Less built up, less heat sinks. But it's one thing that I really liked is that, you know, MSI has their lines throughout, you know, with Intel.
Yeah.
They're following those lines with AMD. So
okay, so this is just lower level.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a high end. It's the X Power Titanium board, so it's their overclocking board. It's just that we're not going to see as many features on an AMD board that you are going to see on an Intel board. You're not going to have, you know, the certain things that are part of a Z270 chipset that are not part of an X370. Right. But it's still a really good board, and it's good to see that we're going to have that high performance from MSI. You know, a lot of times when it comes to AMD boards, they just don't compare at all, and we're having the same X Power line.
How close do you think we're at?
As far
80%?
I mean, they look ready to go.
Well, no, I would say, I mean, more competitive, you know, like equivalent. Like, how close is the AMD board to becoming?
I would say competitive, as far as feature wise, you're looking at 75% to 80% competitive.
Okay.
With an Intel board, I still think that the Z270 X Power board had more features than the X370 X Power board. I don't think that board was a 100%
complete.
100% complete.
Okay.
Some of the parts just didn't look as finished. But again, it was really cool to see. It's cool that they did have it there.
Yeah. Which is kind of what we expect to see.
Yeah.
Some pre-release, but getting their boards at this point. Because AMD is not there with Ryzen yet. We've got a month or so?
Yeah, we got maybe a couple months until we really have anything from Ryzen. But it's good to see them. We expected to see them here. So, you know, they were at MSI. And as we go through the week, we should see some more. So I'm pretty excited about that. You went to see HTC for VR stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So it was pretty big event for HTC, considering they did not actually launch a new headset, which we were really hoping that we were going to see the Vive version 2. But we did see, I guess you would call it like a Vive year 1.5, sort of. Like, so they're taking the current headset and they're doing a lot of stuff outside of the headset itself, and adding more features, more products, more accessories to their lineup, and really also flushing out their, like, the software lineup for their environment as well. So the biggest thing that they had was the VR tracker, which are They're tracking devices, obviously, as it says in the name, that you can really apply to anything. They have a standard mount on them, which is like the mount that you'd find on 4Kim products. So you can mount on a tripod or wherever you want. And the biggest deal with these is that now you can mark any of these accessories that companies make and then have accurate VR detection using the Vive down to, you know, so like, for instance, they put one into the back of where the scope would be on a gun, on a, like a mock-up rifle, and so then when you pull the scope up to your eye, it actually detects exactly how close it is to the headset. So and so you can like have that real scope feel instead of just like scoping in like a mouse click.
Yeah,
you actually pull the thing up, and like if you're a couple inches away, you're looking at a scope a couple inches away.
Okay,
right?
That's really cool.
So you can still look through a scope a couple inches away.
It's gonna make the VR experience even more immersive than what it already
Absolutely.
is.
Absolutely. Like, they had one attached to the bottom of a baseball bat, for
That's
instance.
Cool. Yeah.
So you could swing the bat. Guns was the big thing. They had them on, a company was using them on the back of a pair of manipulator gloves, which had additional sensors in them for, you know, manipulating stuff in the environment. But it gave them, they were having trouble with the, like accurate tracking of where your fingers were at. So they put these on your wrist, and suddenly they have pinpoint location of where the hand is at, right?
Nice.
Yeah, so HTC, along with a couple of these new products, they brought in 30... They say 30-plus vendors. I didn't actually count how many it was.
Yeah.
But a whole bunch of software developers that came in and brought their new products in. So we actually got to try a lot of these different, I guess they're games and developments or apps, just different things. And that was pretty cool. We got to use these trackers and those gloves, like I said. And then they have, let's see here, what else was interesting? Oh, aside from the software stuff, which is obviously cool, they're supporting... like arcade development, so people that want to build VR arcades have access to licensing for like a good amount of apps, so they don't have to pay for that themselves, which makes it, you know, they're essentially HTC is just trying to build up the environment for the Vive.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah, so it's easier and more supported, which is obviously great for them too. But I would say that aside from the tracker, the biggest thing was they were working with a company called TPcast to finally do a wireless headset, so it's a wireless adapter for their headset, which is supposed to be a quarter to launch, $249. It's a 600 milliamp.
So you attach.
Yeah, this goes right onto the top of the headset.
So you attach the HDMI and USB to that.
Exactly.
And then that has a dongle.
Yeah, I assume we weren't shown the dongle.
Okay.
We were just shown the bit attached to a headset, actually.
What do you know the wireless frequency? Like, how's it going to the PC?
They didn't go into that.
It's a lot of bandwidth.
Certainly, yeah. It only has a 2-hour use time.
Yeah, especially over wireless. So what type of wireless is it, you know, that it's going, you know, what band is it going over? I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you, but at least they're doing it.
I mean, it worked.
Because that is a big deal.
It worked pretty well.
We weren't demonstrated.
Okay.
Yeah, they're sure enough to show us.
Yeah, I think that it's a very tall task to, because that's what makes you know, also at MSI I saw a VR backpack, because the biggest thing with these VR headsets is you're connected to your PC.
Yeah.
But even
physically,
if you have a 3-foot cable, a 6-foot cable, 8-foot cable, whatever it means, you're still connected. Which means you can't truly have that immersive experience.
No, because you can, when you're using it, no matter what, you feel the cable dragging around.
Yeah.
And, like, you kind of feel like you're going to trip on it
the whole time. So I used the, it's the MSI VR1. It's their VR backpack.
Mm-hmm.
GTX 1070 inside. I played with that today, and I couldn't feel anything.
Right.
You know, because the headset is attached to my back. And I'm just walking around with this backpack. And when I'm in the game, the backpack's extremely light. So when I'm in the game,
that's just it.
Yeah. And I'm not attached to anything. And that was really cool. So I think that's the biggest thing is getting the headset to a point where you don't have any of those issues as far as, you know, you're connected to something, right?
Yeah. So it does make this adapter interesting, right?
Yeah.
Whether it works or not,
that's the biggest thing, is if this thing actually works, you know, there has to be some type of input lag or output lag.
Unless they've worked through that.
Yeah, so that's the most difficult thing with that, I would say. But that's pretty cool. I didn't know that you guys saw that. So and then I met with Zotac, and they had a couple cool products. First, they always have had mini graphics cards. That's kind of been their thing. They had their GTX 1060 Mini, and then they had a GTX 1070 Mini, and now they just introduced at CES the GTX 1080 Mini. And this is the world's smallest GTX 1080. It is 8.3 inches long, so very, very small, perfect for that mini ITX build. And that's basically going to give you the most powerful single GPU graphics card out there in a mini ITX build. That's awesome for people who want to build a small system. And it's pretty cool design, because the actual cooling system is a dual fan cooling system, but it's one larger fan, one smaller fan. It works pretty well. And it's stock speed, so you're not going to get any overclock or anything like that out of the box. But it's awesome. It's so small, and to have that much power in something that can fit in a mini ITX system no problem is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And they're working on an external graphics card dock. We've seen a bunch of those.
Oh, yeah.
But there's...
That was really, like, the last year.
Yeah,
last
well, it's really big this year because now... So, Thunderbolt 3 was on, like, one Ultrabook, which was the Razer Core last year.
Yeah, and that was the Dell, thing for that.
And
yeah.
Now everybody is putting Thunderbolt 3, so you have so many more devices compatible with it. So, external hard drive or external graphics card enclosure, theirs supports a tri-slot card. Only one. None of the other ones support a tri-slot card. So you have room for a tri-slot graphics card if you want. So something crazy, super high-end. I believe their GTX 1080 Amp Extreme is a tri-slot card. So you can put that in there. Yeah, it supports up to the like 13-inch graphics card, so the longest card you can get in there. It's only a prototype right now, but it's cool to see that they are working on it. Those were kind of the big things for the day. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. Really busy day.
We went with Samsung too.
Yeah, so we went to Samsung had a cool event for their brand new Quantum Dots curved monitor, and we got to check that out. This monitor, if you don't know what Quantum Dot is, Google it and take a look.
Yeah,
it's basically a new backlighting system.
It's just you got IPS, you got LED, OLED, and you know you've got Quantum Dot, which is essentially, from the way they described it, it's a mat, right?
Yeah.
With the lighting element imprinted into it, and it's highly accurate and extremely color accurate.
Yeah, it's that display they showed us, incredibly beautiful. Color reproduction is really, really great.
It's curved, and since it's a mat, it's essentially built to be curved, right?
It
doesn't force anything on it.
Yeah.
So it's very natural for it to curve, and which obviously we know that the curved monitor is more natural for the eye, so...
So yeah, it's the thing about it is with these other display technologies, the actual screen and the glass is not meant to be curved. So you have issues with a lot of these when you get into curving them, you lose a lot of their properties. While a lot of companies don't want to tell you that, that's kind of what happens. With this, the Quantum Dot is actually meant to be curved, so you're not losing anything when you actually curve the screen. And I can't think of it right now, the product name that they're just launching. Not off the top of that. But they showed their new Quantum Dot monitor. And one really cool thing that we did see with it, it has a all-in-one power and data connection. So you don't have a power brick or anything with it. It's just one connection, which I believe is DisplayPort on the end.
Yeah, it should be DisplayPort.
Yeah, so power and obviously data all through one port into it. Really, really cool. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. And, you know, just desk clutter, this kind of eliminates all of that. It's really unique stand and everything, too.
It's a very sleek design.
Yeah, so that was the last thing we did, and then we went to a party. And now we're back here, and we're both extremely tired.
It was a party, but, I mean, it was HW Bot Party, right?
HW Bot Party, yeah.
Which is, we all know, for their overclocking tracking, so... I mean, that's definitely industry.
Yeah. It was work, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, that is pretty much it for day. It was day, officially day one of our CES 2017 coverage. As we always do, you guys can check out all of our CES 2017 coverage. thinkcomputers.org/CES-2017. Everything is there. We'll have everything up. So anything else you want to say, Derek?
I mean, nothing else. I guess tomorrow the show floor officially opens, so it's officially day one for CES, and Bob's got Jack and I going straight down to the show floor, so
yes,
you'll get some show floor news tomorrow, definitely some coverage from there. It should be a busy day for all of us all around.
It should be a super busy day, guys, so until tomorrow, catch you guys later.